بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. We continue the explanation of Umdat al-Ahkam under the book of the Congregational Prayers, we are on the Congregational Prayer. That's right, Hadith 59. That's it, Hadith 59. عن عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنهما قال صليت مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ركعتين قبل الظهر وركعتين بعدها وركعتين بعد الجمعة وركعتين بعد المغرب وركعتين بعد العشاء، وفي لفظ فأما المغرب والعشاء والجمعة ففي بيته، وفي لفظ أن ابن عمر قال حدثتني حفصة أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يصلي سجدتين خفيفتين بعدما يطلع الفجر، وكانت ساعة لا أدخل على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فيها. Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, said, I offered with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam two rak'ah before dhuhr and two rak'ah after dhuhr, two rak'ah after maghrib, isha and jumu'ah prayers. Those of the maghrib and isha were offered in his house, meaning in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's house. My sister Hafsa told me that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to offer two light rak'ah after dawn, and it was the time when I never went to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The narrator is Abdullah bin Umar, may Allah be pleased with him. And we spoke about him and his biography during our explanation of hadith number 13. The subject matter of this hadith is making clear the as-sunan al-rawatib al-tabi'a lil-fara'id, making clear what are the regular sunan which are related to the fara'id, which are related to the obligatory salah. This is the subject matter of this hadith. In this hadith, as we notice, that Abdullah bin Umar, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, tells about as-sunan al-rawatib, the regular sunan, which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to pray them with the fariḍa, as a completion of it, perfection of it, and perfection from what may occur from certain defects during the obligatory salah. He tells Abdullah bin Umar, he tells with certainty that he prayed with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam what he prayed, except ratibatul fajr, except the regular sunnah of al-fajr. He related that from his sister. Who is his sister? I'm asking. Who is his sister? His sister is Hafsa. That's right. Hafsa, the daughter of Umar. Yes, his sister. May Allah be pleased with her. And he related it from his sister because, you know, no one could enter the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam privacy then except her. And Hafsa radiallahu anha is the mother of the believers. She is the daughter of Umar, and she is the sister of Abdullah The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam married her in the third year of Hijrah, after the death of her husband, who was wounded in the battle of Uhud. So she is one of the mothers of the believers, and she had a mother, she was a meritorious mother of the believers, and she had good opinions. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu put her in charge of his endowment in Khaybar. Umar radiallahu anhu put her in charge of his endowment in Khaybar, and she died in the month of Jamada al-Ula in the year 41 after Hijrah. May Allah be pleased with her and her father. So then he relates Khaybar. This is the place of the Jews, where this is the dwelling of the Jews around Medina. He related from her that the Prophet ﷺ also offered 2 rak'ah after the daybreak, meaning the sunnah of the fajr. So now we have 2 rak'ah before dhuhr in this hadith, and 2 rak'ah after dhuhr, and 2 rak'ah after salat al-jumu'ah, and 2 rak'ah after salat al-maghrib, and 2 rak'ah after salat al-isha, and 2 light rak'ahs before the obligatory salah of fajr after the daybreak. Not only that, we learned from this hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed the maghrib, regular sunnah, and the isha and the jumu'ah in his home, or at his home. And also, from the context, we know that Ratibatul Fajr, the regular sunnah for Fajr, was also prayed at home. Then what about, in this hadith, there is no mention of the Ratibatul Dhuhr. Where did he pray it? The regular sunnah for the Dhuhr. There is no mention in this hadith, where did the Prophet ﷺ pray that? However, we know from Sahih Muslim, from the hadith of Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, that the Prophet ﷺ used to pray the regular sunnah of dhuhr at his house. And we know also from in the 2 books of Sahih, Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, from the hadith of Zayd bin Thabit, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Prophet ﷺ said, the best of the person's prayer is that which he prays at home, except the obligatory one, except the obligatory prayer. Now, we know from this hadith that there is a mention of 2 rak'ah before dhuhr and 2 rak'ah after dhuhr. But we know also from the hadith of Aisha that the Prophet ﷺ also did not leave praying 4 rak'ah before dhuhr. And also from the hadith of Habiba, that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to pray 4 rak'ah before dhuhr. Also with respect to salat al-jumu'ah, in this hadith there is a mention of 2 rak'ah after salat al-jumu'ah. And also there is another narration, if anyone of you prays the Jum'ah, then let him pray 4 rak'ah. And in this hadith, 2 rak'ah. So, what are the sayings of the scholars regarding this matter? 2 rak'ah after Jum'ah, or 4 rak'ah after Jum'ah. The first saying is that if he prays in the masjid, then he prays them 4. And if he prays at home, he prays them 2. This is the first opinion. The second opinion is that he prays 6 rak'ah in order to make four. What is mentioned? What is mentioned is two, and then the other narration is four. So they said he prays six. So as to combine the saying of the Prophet and his action. The saying and his action. Here we know from his action he prayed two at home. And from his saying is praying four. So this opinion is to pray six. To combine between his saying and his action. The third opinion is to pray four, whether at home or in the masjid. Because in case of opposition between the saying of the Prophet ﷺ and the action, his action, then we give precedence to his saying. Why? Because actions a person may forget. And also, actions may be particular to him, in contrast with the sayings, because the sayings constitute legislation, a general legislation for the entire ummah. So therefore, we take by the four. We take by his statement of four, and this is precautionary. This is precautionary. It is also possible to say that he sometimes perhaps prayed two and sometimes prayed four. But the precautionary thing is the preceding opinion that we give precedence to his saying of four. And this is more precautionary. And Allah, the Most High, knows best. Now, the timing of the sunan. You heard from this hadith that the sunan, some of the regular sunnah, okay, is to be prayed before the regular one, before the obligatory prayers, and some of them are to be prayed after. So what is the timing for the sunan that are before? The timing begins from the commencement of the time of salah until the actualization of the obligatory salah. So the criteria is in the commencement of the timing, not the adhan. Then what about the timing for the sunan that fall after the obligatory ones? Their timing is, they begin from the conclusion, from the time of conclusion of the obligatory salah until the end of its prescribed time. If someone misses the sunnah, then, and it's not missed deliberately, then he can do them or do it. Make it up. And we know that from the hadith, whoever sleeps on, forgets a salah or sleeps and misses it, then he makes it when he remembers it. And when the Prophet ﷺ missed the sunnah of the dhuhr, he made it up after asr. Some of the scholars are with the opinion that there's an exception, they said, except that which he misses if he misses the sunnah and misses also its fard, the fard, he misses the fard of the salah and its sunan. They said in this case the sunnah drops, he prays the faridah, the obligatory one. And they excluded, however, excluded Ratibatul Fajr, the Fajr prayer, because of its importance. Now, there is no mention of Salat al-Asr, whether there is a regular Sunnah for Salat al-Asr. The answer, it is not mentioned here, because there is no regular Sunnah for Salat al-Asr. In the hadith of Ibn Umar, we know that the Prophet ﷺ said, may Allah's mercy be upon the person who prays 4 rak'ah before Asr. This indicates that it is a sunnah, not a regular one. It is a sunnah, but not a regular sunnah. It is an affirmed sunnah, but not a regular one. Can one offer optional salah between the commencement of the time of a prayer and the iqama? So if a person hears the adhan, enters the masjid, and after praying tahiyyat al-masjid, the adhan is called for a certain salah. Yes, he can offer an optional prayer due to the hadith, in line of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, between bayna kulli adhanayn salah, between two adhans, between each two adhans there is prayer. And the adhan, the first adhan is the adhan for the salah. The second adhan is the adhan for the iqama. So the person may offer. Like if you enter for Salat al-Isha, for example, then you can offer an optional prayer between the adhan of Isha and the adhan for the iqama. Now, is there a sunnah before Maghrib? Before the obligatory Maghrib prayer. The Prophet ﷺ said, صَلُّوا قَبْلَ الْمَغْرِبِ لِمَنْ شَاءَ. Pray before Maghrib, before the Maghrib obligatory, for whomever he wishes. For whomever he wishes. Meaning, if you pray, that's fine. If you don't, it's not something regular or mandatory. The salah of the regular sunan, the salah of the regular prayers, is better at home. The salah, making them at home, is better than the masjid. Even better than praying them in al-masjid al-haram in Mecca or al-masjid al-Nabawi, the Prophet's masjid. How this is deducted? This is deducted from the fact that the Prophet ﷺ prayed them at home. Yet, we know that in his masjid, the salah is amplified in reward. Why is it as such? First, praying them at home is better due to the following things. First, because this is taking the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as an example. Right? Clear? Second, taking, complying with his command. Complying with his command, alayhi salatu wasallam. When he commanded the salah at homes, except for the obligatory ones. Remember the hadith we mentioned earlier? And also the hadith لا تجعلوا بيوتكم قبورا. Don't make your homes graves. And in the hadith, let the person make a share for his home, meaning from salah. Let his home have a share of his salah. Thirdly, it is more fitting to be closer to ikhlas, closer to sincerity at home. Fourthly, making them at home incites the children and the family members to perform the salah and to learn. Fifthly, it is a cause for the existence or occurrence of a blessing in this place where the prayer is offered. Due to all of these reasons, it is obvious that it is better that these regular sunan be conducted at home. Also, from this we learn another thing as a point of benefit, that the optional prayers, some of them are restricted and related to the obligatory ones, right? This is the first, right? Some of them are restricted to what? To the obligatory ones, right? Clear? Some are restricted to times. Some are restricted to certain times. Like two before the Fajr obligatory prayer. Four or two before Dhuhr and two after Dhuhr. Two before Maghrib. Two after Isha. Right? طيب. Some of them are restricted to a cause. Some of them are restricted to a cause. Like the Tahiyyatul Masjid. When someone enters the Masjid, the two rak'ah salutation of the Masjid. Like the rak'ah of Tawaf. After performing the Tawaf. Like the two rak'ah of wudu for sunnah al-wudu after performing wudu. And some are general nafil. General. And from the optional prayers are those prayers which are legally permissible to do in congregation, like Salat At-Taraweeh, like the Taraweeh prayers, like Salatul Istisqa, like the Salah prayers, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for rain. As to the rest, it is not legalized in jama'ah on continuous basis and so forth. Some of them may be done occasionally, but not to continue on them in congregation.